gospel reading for this Sunday comes from Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded by beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The gospel of our Lord.
Good morning. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Eric asked me to read the sermon this morning, and I nervously accepted the invitation. He's on vacation this Sunday, and the sermon was compiled by him. Most of it is taken from a commentary by Elizabeth Johnson, a professor at Lutheran School of Theology in Cameron, and a writing by Caroline Lewis, a professor at Lutheran Seminary. In last week's gospel text, Jesus took the task the Pharisees and the scribes for their ideas of purity and their judgment of those who did not conform to their standards of piety. Now, as if to prove his point, Jesus heads off into impure territory, the Gentile region of Tyre. It seems that Jesus is exhausted and seeking some downtime as he entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Even in this Gentile region, it seems, word had spread about Jesus. He cannot escape demands for his healing power. The woman who approaches Jesus breaks through every traditional barrier that should prevent her from doing so. She's a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, Mark chapter 7, verse 26. In other words, she's implicitly impure, one who lives outside of the land of Israel and outside of the law of Moses, a descendant of the ancient enemies of Israel. She's also a woman, unaccompanied by a husband or a male relative, who initiates a conversation with a strange man, another taboo transgressed. On top of all of this, her daughter is possessed by a demon. Although we are not told exactly how the demon affected her daughter, we can probably guess from other stories about demon-possessed people that it made her act in bizarre and antisocial ways. This woman and her daughter were not the kind of family most people would be likely to invite over for dinner. Any way you look at it, this woman is an outsider. And what is more, Jesus actually has the nerve to say as much to her face. When the woman falls at his feet and begs him to heal her daughter, Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The children in this statement are the children of Israel, and the little dogs, canaria, are understood to be all other people. Jesus' response is harsh. How could he say such a thing? He appears to be quoting a bit of Jewish folk wisdom, but that does not lessen its sting. Some interpreters propose that Jesus is testing the woman to tease out her affirmation of faith. Others propose that we see the very human side of Jesus, exhausted and needing a break, or perhaps not yet understanding the scope of his own mission. While we cannot know exactly what Jesus was thinking, it is clear that when approached by the Syrophoenician woman, Jesus' immediate response is to appeal to the limits of his mission, his call to serve his own people. In Matthew's version of this story, Jesus begins by saying, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. When this tenacious mother comes back at him with her clever response, "Sir, even little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs," Mark chapter 7, verse 28, Jesus can only agree. "For saying that, you may go," Jesus says, "the demon has left your daughter," Mark chapter 7, verse 29. Jesus can only agree that God's love and healing power know no ethic, political, or social boundaries. So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Mark chapter 7, verse 30. For a different perspective, here's a reading that I think captures some of the bold spirit we see and hear in the Syrophoenician woman, and her response to Jesus. It was written by Kaylin Haught, entitled, "God Says Yes to Me," from the book, The Palm of Your Hand. "I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, sure it is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey," she calls me that sometimes, she said, "you can do just exactly what you want to." "Thanks, God," I said. "And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters?" "Sweet cakes," God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. Caroline Lewis writes, "The Syrophoenician woman tells Jesus, 'Guess what, Jesus? God said yes to me. God said yes to me when God tore open the heavens. God said yes to me when God decided to show up in the wilderness rather than in the temple. God said yes to me when you came here instead of spending all your time in Jerusalem. It's okay to be me, so get over yourself, Jesus.'" There is really no story like this in the Bible. Well, the one exception might be Moses getting God to change God's mind. But this woman does more than just get Jesus to change his mind. She rocks Jesus' world. She gets Jesus to admit for what and whom his ministry is all about. The Syrophoenician woman had heard that Jesus had healed many people and was willing to break all the customs of the day, to boldly come to him and beg him to heal her daughter. Nothing else mattered to her but having her daughter healed. With mom gone and the daughter healed, Jesus then heads off from Tyre to another Gentile area. And again from Elizabeth Johnson, "Perhaps Jesus is still seeking to escape notice and to rest a bit. Or perhaps he has a new vision of his mission beyond the borders of his home territory. In any case, once again, escaping notice proves impossible. They brought to him a deaf man who had also an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him." Mark chapter 7, verse 32. Like the Syrophoenician woman, this man too is an outsider. He is cut off from the world by his inability to hear and communicate with others. This time, Jesus does not hesitate to respond to a desperate request, though he does take the man aside away from the crowd. In a very earthy scene, Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears, spits, and touches the man's tongue, and then says, "Ephphatha," which in Aramaic means, "be opened." Immediately, the narrator tells us, the man's ears were opened and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Mark chapter 7, verse 35. Suddenly, this man is able to hear and communicate with those around him. Not only is he physically healed, but he is also restored to his community. Like Jesus himself, his disciples are continually called to a larger vision of mission, one that aims to embrace the outsider, the stranger, the deaf and the mute, the enemy, the Syrophoenician women. Pastor then says, in his own words, "I have had some interesting discussions about my story of the Syrophoenician woman with my students at the Lutheran Institute of Theology in Maganga, Cameroon. They are troubled by this story because they have heard Muslims use this story, and particularly Jesus' words of Matthew, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel,' to tell people that the Christian faith is not really for Africans. My response is that it is easy to take one verse out of context, but one has to read to the end of the story. At the end of this story, Jesus praises the woman's faith and her daughter is healed. She does receive the gift of salvation. We are all included in this gift, no matter what our nationality, ethnicity, or social status. But then I realized that it is easy for me to say that, coming from a place of privilege as a white American. I sense that my students are not convinced that it is enough to have crumbs from the table. Materially speaking, that is pretty much all they have ever had. They don't want to be told that they should be satisfied with spiritual crumbs as well. For those of us who are used to having a place at the table, perhaps we need to be reminded that none of us has any privilege or right whatsoever to claim with God. We all come as beggars to the table, and it is solely by God's grace that we are fed. Perhaps we need also to be reminded that God's table is immeasurably larger than we can imagine. For those who identify more easily with the Syrophoenician women begging for crumbs, it must be said that Jesus does not leave any of us in a state of beggarliness. He seats us at the table and claims us as God's beloved children, children from every tribe and language and nation. Even crumbs from the table would be enough for our healing and salvation, but Jesus has given more than enough. He sets an abundant, life-giving feast for all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our hymn is Day by Day, hymn number 746.